are listening to the Hustle and Glow podcast with Francesca Alexander. Hello there. I'm oddly excited about this episode because I will tell you, part of me is I just can't stand when everything looks perfect. I can't stand when everything on social media looks perfect and there are perfect pictures of your family or perfect pictures with your husband. Yes, I do have that. I do it on special occasions. I just did it on my birthday. However, it's not the absolute truth on how happy and airy everything looks like. And in this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. But first, I also wanted to acknowledge for the women of color that are listening to my podcast that we had a huge couple of weeks. Actually, we had a huge year, to be frank. But one of the things that I wanted to acknowledge and hold space for is that, you know, a lot of things are happening in the news sort of strike you in the middle of when you're trying to progress and be successful in your business. Whether you have a corporate job or you're an entrepreneur like me and most of the people that are listening, we get sidetracked on all of this, especially with what I do. I get sidetracked in social media and I go into a TikTok spiral because that seems to be my platform of choice. I can get things like instant Yahoo News on there. I can see what's happening in real time all the way in New Zealand, and I still very much feel connected to the U.S. I am American. This affects me. This is where I come from. This is where I'm probably going to go back to. So it's just, it's always there, right? So Georgia, when things that were happening with Georgia and the beautiful Park Cannon got arrested, you know, it shook with me. It shook in me. Can't we just be safe? I mean, how... She just knocked on a door. That's all she did. And she got charged with two felonies. And she's a, you know what I mean? It's just, it doesn't make any sense. So, so that definitely threw me. I mean, and of course, we're all really just looking and checking in on the trial of George Floyd's death and that murder that happened. And the nonsense that's going on with it. Also, too, a lot of women are waking up to a lot of the Asian hate crimes that are happening as caregivers, thinking about our families, our friends. It's tough. And we're in a state and a place right now where we know that we're not safe. And I just wanted to say, I hear you. And it's almost, and I don't want to hear, I stop myself from saying I'm holding space for us because it almost sounds like thoughts and prayers. And we all know how we feel about thoughts and prayers. So what I've been leaving on social media when I hear this or I hear an experience of somebody that has gone through something, there's a lot of brave people in the Asian community and in the Black community that are stating what happened to them today. And I leave comments that do not reflect that whole thoughts and prayers thing, but I honestly just say thank you and I'm listening, and that's it. And sometimes I'll get a like from the creator and sometimes I don't. I don't need all of that. I'm just trying to put in words of what I can say to support my community, because this is our community, and it's tough out there. But I want to also say in the same breath that this is happening, that you still have the right to gain your success. You still have the right to go towards that inevitable success that is there. And guess what? It's urgently needed more than ever. We need women of color just like yourself to be successful in what you do. And that is the essence of this podcast. I want you to keep going. I want you to know that what you do and you are a force to be reckoned with, and I am here for you. And I'm going to try to actually put more podcasts that are out there that really resonate with you in a way that, oh, I didn't know that bit. I could actually grab that and I could apply it in my business. Or, well, I'm so glad we got to hear from that particular guest because that really soothed me in a way that I didn't know. And I get that. I will tell you from Brené Brown's podcast a lot. I will, even on subjects that are really, really hard, sometimes I don't get or understand the language that I need to have to explain to my partner and friends of what I'm going through. It's been very challenging living in New Zealand in a very almost all-white community where I live. My, I would say business contacts are mostly, actually, I believe they're all Caucasian. So sometimes I need those beautiful painted words and for me to describe what I'm going through, what kind of trauma, what kind of, in a sense, of how can I teach them to listen to me without putting back their opinions of the situation back on me. And that's hard. It's hard for a group of people that always have a voice and always have been heard. In New Zealand, they have a huge voice. Every morning show, every news show, every talk radio show. And I'm talking about Gen Xers to Boomers. Yes, those, that subset of people have a stronger white voice than anywhere else. And so again, another little reason why I'm putting this podcast out there. I'm also hoping to bring in, and if you know of somebody that would be amazing on the podcast that's from New Zealand, please introduce me. And if you don't know them, but you want to hear more about them, then grab me on Instagram, which in my little handle is globalgirl_LA. Go ahead, DM me, let me know, send me the people that you, or their, you know, their links, their bio links, anything, anyone that you find that's interesting that you want to talk to, or want me to talk to, I got really excited, let me know, and we would love to have them on the show. All right, so here it is, episode 48, The Bad Wife. Hello everyone, welcome back to the show, Hustle and Glow 2021. Very excited actually to start up again. I really want to get focused this year and get things going at a really rough transition at the end of year, last year, 2020, and coming into this year. And a lot of it was just trying to get back some normalcy into my life. And I think that a lot of you out there can relate to it. Aside from having COVID, our lives are a little different. A lot of ebbs and flows are different now. My life in particular was a little different. My husband, over six months ago, had moved out of our home to go back to Wellington to watch and to be around his mother, who was the last chapter of her life. She was going through the final stages of cancer. So we both committed to doing that for him. He wanted to be there. So he actually transferred from his job from Auckland to Wellington and worked there the past 6 months. And at the end of it, he was on his way of moving back and received a call not even one day that it's mom's final hours. He went back. We did a funeral. We stayed there for a couple of weeks and we are reemerging back into our home. Now that's a lot of transitioning, a lot of thought process, the whole grieving process, all of that, certainly. And I feel like there is something in a lot of the people that I know that have a very similar sort of transitional thing that's happening to all of us, whether it's a relationship change or it is a living arrangement change, definitely a lot of job changes out there, but we're just trying to reemerge and find out what is working for us. Now, in the middle of that, since I live in New Zealand, the holiday season is a bit longer than most because over here and, you know, down under New Zealand, Australia, it is summer. So a lot of people, you know, in Europe and in the US, in the middle of the year in June, the summer break is happening. People take holiday off and they take that vacation. But we only kind of do that once a year. But at the end of the year or the beginning of the year, depending on your perspective. And a lot of us here, I've noticed, have gone through a really severe stage of burnout. In fact, it's almost like a plane trying to land and it keeps skipping the runways. It's kind of a bumpy re-entry because honestly, we need to pull back sometimes and go, yeah, that holiday that was for 10 days feels so good. We probably should extend it. And at first I'm like, what is going on? As an American, I can't appreciate that. I'm good. And I think it's excessive to have 4 days off during Christmas. I think that's enough. But as I keep, you know, each year that I live here, I see the need to just breathe, reassess, have some sun come on you and you know, breathe that in. Breathe in summer. Take those deep breaths when you can. Relax, because we know that relaxing is going to rejuvenate you. It's also going to spike up interest around in life and really boost your creativity. So I know that that happens with rest and relaxation and really getting into it. And by the way, the rest of the world knows this. Europe knows this. Italy will shut down in the month of August. Some parts of Europe also do this. Like, they just know that we need to recalibrate, that we need to rest. We need to really rejuvenate in our bodies. And there's something to be said with that. I'm also studying under Kate Northrup, and her whole body first movement is something that I'm really taking on board this year and last year as well. But I'm really starting to like, okay, let's look at your schedule. When are you doing Pilates? When are you doing that walk? And really scheduling it in with, and when I schedule it in, it has a sense of importance. That means it has to actually get done that day. I've never done that before. I used to say, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. And then you sort of do it, but I never wrote it in. I thought, oh, in the morning on Tuesday, I'll go. Well, what does that mean? Does something else supersede that? Is it something else more important than that? Do you put it aside? So now I'm starting to do and actually plug it in and write it into my schedule. That has been amazing. So I'm just doing this whole rejuvenation thing. My husband is back. I have lived without him for 6 months. So it has been a very focused life. You know, this is what I'm doing. This is what, how I'm working. I am meeting with clients. I'm doing me. I'm meeting with friends. And then the whole cycle happens again each week, right? So now I am bringing my life and sort of, I suppose, folding it into Callum's and our life together. And we, you know, what do we do? What do we do on our days off? And I'm not perfect at it. And then it made me think about this particular podcast and what I wanted to talk about. And I've really noticed how throughout the years, and I've been married with Callum since, oh my God, I think it's like 12 years now or this is the 12th year. And we've been together for a while. Have I been a good wife? And the absolute answer to that is no. I'm not a good wife. I've never been a good wife. In accordance to the social construct of what a good wife is, I am not that. I have never been that. And I can't be, because the word ambition keeps coming up. So if you have a strong ambition, you can't be that traditional supportive role to a husband. But what I am inviting in is a true partnership along the way. So anything from getting all of those things sorted, like, you know, anything from finances, what we have to pay in bills, what we need to structure in terms of cleaning the home, all of those bits are viewed as a partnership action and not just a one-sided transaction. So that is one of the things. And the funny thing was, I was thinking about this when I was making the bed, because I'm side laughing because I've been trying to resign for being a housewife. And I've been trying to resign actively probably the last 6 or 7 months, as I know that a lot of responsibilities have been falling on me. I know that if I was a male and I was the husband, that wouldn't be held to me as much as it is now. Meaning that if I was to go ahead and be a man and run my own business and be the husband, I would have an automatic support from not only my wife, but an automatic support from my in-laws, women in the family would also support me. Oh, let me get that. Let me catch that. Let me make sure that, you know, their shirts are ironed, that the food is done. All of those little bits and pieces that life happens around you, right? Like, what's that supportive role to get that person, you know, sussed out and happy so they can go ahead and progress with the business and it would grow. Traditionally, we know this to be a really strong archetype with wives of doctors and how they support those husbands that are doctors, and they go in the office and all of a sudden they're their office manager and they're really running the business behind that medical practice. So that's one obvious trope or what we've seen in that ethos of what a good wife looks like. So that's something that I've been really, really looking at and understanding and seeing where I fall in. I am actively trying to change the definition of what that is. But in the meantime, I'm happy to be a bad wife because I really sincerely cannot get away from the ambition I feel every time I wake up in the morning and I want to attend to my clients and I want to grow my business and I want to grab more clients and I want to be able to really foster and develop my staff or my contractors in this case to really do what they can and also grow the business with them. That they're so invested in what I'm doing. They're so behind on what I'm doing here and trying to really expand the practices of a lot of other small businesses through social media, that they're so on board that they're going to give me a little bit more. And when that is reciprocal, that's magic. So what I'd like to do is I actually like to give them more responsibility. Also, make sure that when they come into work, they feel great, they feel happy, they love the way they feel here, and they make good money. And that grows as we grow. So that's the ambition part that I will not let go. I will not let a day go by without me thinking, how can I expand this? I'm I am unapologetic about this. I was just going to say kind of, and I got to stop saying kind of. I absolutely am. And this is the direction I want to go with. Now, when this past year has happened, I've noticed that if I was a male and I was the husband part, I feel that I would have gotten away with more in terms of not having to fly back to Wellington or meet up with Wellington or the frequency of that. If I was a male, there would be an understanding that I would have to grow my business. Therefore, I can't just come in to be the supportive role to my spouse. And that piece really struck me. It's really interesting how men seem to get away with not being there for their partner because they need to run a business or develop a business. And they get that automatic tick, that little check mark on, yep, they got to do that. And women are not allowed that same sort of courtesy. And that bothers me. But enough with being bothered by stuff. How can I change it? How can I turn it around to really suit me? What kind of language can I use to actually help support that? And so this year is definitely going to be a journey of that. I will be sharing how I'm coming along with that because I am going to still, sorry, I live by the beach and you're going to hear a lot of background noise. And it's summer, so it's going to be busy on a Saturday morning as I'm recording this. But there is a lot to unpack here, and I want to unpack it with you. If you are in a relationship, if you are a family care provider, whether you have children or you are taking care of a family member, there are a lot of different expectations on you and to also wear the title as a business owner. Those things conflict. And even with women that are in their 20s, it's still a conflict because we have to deal with the social construct of being a good wife, being a good partner, being a supportive girlfriend. And that gets in the way sometimes
of your mindset, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to do your own little sales meeting in the morning in your head. This is how, what we're going to do. This is what we're going to go after. This is how we're going to structure it. This is great. We're going to get the support that we're going to do. We're going to run with this as a business idea. And then life happens and it smacks you in the face and you're like, all right, well, what am I going to do now? I have to support my partner. And what does that look like? And also a part of this are, for me anyway, very frank discussions with my partner saying, actually, I'm feeling overwhelmed and doing all of the things that that I need to do to run a household, to make sure that there is that meal on the table for us, to make sure that, I don't know, the house is vacuumed. It's those little things, because if you're like me, I don't like to walk in or rock into my office and it looks like a mess. I can't work that way. My workflow is disrupted by the untidiness of the environment. And that's always happened. I don't care if I'm in an office. I've been in plenty of offices, work for other people, and I have to clean my environment before I can settle in and start working. It's the same thing. And back about a year ago, I believe it was in February as well, last year, I decided not to renew my contract for a shared office that I really loved and still like. Totally recommend this place in St. Heliers. It was a shared office. It was gorgeous. It was by the beach. It gave me a mental break and space to break away and go in there and work. And I loved, loved, loved the space. And then in February, I made this conscious decision of like, well, that second bedroom that just holds our empty suitcases and we're not doing anything with it, I could buy a desk and I can move into there. And it is the best decision, aside from not knowing COVID-19 was going to happen. It was the best decision that I made for my business, because I'm actually being able to put that money back into my business, which has been absolutely valuable. I couldn't agree more that I had to go in and do this. And it's not traditionally looks like an office. I'm also trying to turn it into a closet at the same time. It's one of the perks of having a second room when you don't really need anything in there. But it is my little haven. It's my little perfect space for me and what I like to do here. But the only downfall is that I know that I have laundry that needs to be done. I know that that kitchen is a little untidy. I need to go in there. It's 15 minutes and go in and really wash things up and make everything really, really pretty. That's only the downfall of it. So that's why I went, okay, so what I'm going to do strategically is when my husband is off this particular week, I'm going to have him go with me into my B&I network meeting. And you say all you want to say about B&I. I absolutely love it. It's a business and networking. I think international is what it stands for. They're everywhere. It's from the States. They have one here in Oakland. I love it because I really feel like I have a community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and I need to be around that at least once a week. It really helps me set straight on what my goals are, what do I need to achieve, and be around ambition people that do that. And also support each other through referrals, which is amazing. I mean, since I've joined, I think it's second year, I've definitely pulled in some really beautiful referrals into me and my business, and also I've referred too. So it's a really cute reciprocity piece that I love going to each week. My ambition will actually wake me up. I have an alarm clock to get up at 5 o'clock. But my internal clock will wake up just to attend this meeting because it's that important. So when Callum was off, when, you know, one of the first couple of weeks we came back, we took some holiday off so we can just sort of sink in back into living here in Oakland. I live in the Eastern Bays area, a lot of beach area, really cute, sleepy little side suburban town. But beautiful. And I wanted to sink back into this lifestyle, sink back into what it meant to be a couple and sort of get reacquainted with each other. And while I was doing this, I wanted him to see a little bit more of my life, what has been going on with me in the last 6 months, I've been a member of BNI for a couple years, and for some reason I haven't been able to get them to a function, whether it's being busy or the timing, the schedule didn't work out, didn't matter, but I could never get him in front of these people. So I made him come to a breakfast meeting, and he got to see what it is we do and how we talk about business and how we really, really are just, you know, have that reciprocity piece around us and how we support each other. And he liked it. He really liked the energy. It really is a lot of good energy in my particular chapter. It's really great. And that was my introduction of resigning as a housewife, because I am not built on being a housewife. If you were to come see me in my 20s, I might have been. I joke and laugh. Like, if I, which housewife would you be on the Bravo franchise? I would absolutely be probably the New Jersey housewife. I loved it. Big family, big kitchen, always cooking, having the kids, you know, looking fabulous, designer clothes. I love it. That would be it. And also, too, because I'm Latina, there's a bit of drama. So I feel like I relate to that one the most. And that's the lifestyle that I would have had. Now, when I was in my 30s and 40s, I definitely found the, I suppose, the opportunity and the luck of not having children at first. I thought it was just a matter of time. And as I'm getting older now, I realize that it's not only an opportunity, but it's a blessing for my personal development not to have any children. And that's another Oprah, right? That's another Oprah that I really, really like to get down to and go and drill down to it. But I am the only Latina in my family that doesn't have children. So that in itself, I think, is a wonderful opportunity and a wonderful way to look at life. Like, what if I didn't have any children? So that's something that is also another conversation, right? But I really enjoy where I'm at in my life right now. And being unapologetic about not being a good wife. I quite like being a bad wife. I need to make choices for myself and my business, just like my male counterparts are. I'm trying to create a different type of life where I'm inviting my husband, my partner, my life partner, to co-create a life that we like in the truest tense of a partnership. Half the responsibility for, you know, getting all our finances together, paying those bills out on a timely manner, making sure that the house is clean, making sure that we have dinner on the table, whatever it is for you that is, by the way, I'm only naming the things that are sticking points or what I can't stand doing. Like, I already, in my side of the business, I got to deal with, I still haven't finished with the accounting piece, making sure that the bookkeeping is on track, making sure that invoices are out on time and they're correct. I want to make sure that all of the level of customer service, client services are at a particular high level so I can go ahead and create that word of mouth piece. It's really important for my business. There are, and I'm just touching on a couple of elements, but, and we're also an inverted pyramid. So, you know, a lot of people say customers first. I actually think staff is first, or in this case, my contractors are first, because if they're happy and healthy, everything trickles down in a very beautiful way to give that high level of service for our clients. And that's important to me, because if we take care of our own, everybody else is taken care of in that one swoop. So all of these bits and pieces that I'm thinking strategically for my business do not fall into, I got to get the laundry done and I got to start dinner. And that, my friends, is something that I'm going to leave you with. What is it for you that is an absolutely not? And what is an absolutely must have? And I just want to leave it there with you, because I don't have the answers myself. I know what feels good. I don't know how to grab onto it just yet. And I really want to talk about this year, what those goals are for me. This is a very personal side of what I want to achieve, and it is a true partnership. So we'll see how we go. And I wish you the most amazing beginning of the year. I hope that you guys are all safe and waving and hugging to you from New Zealand for sure. And I can hardly wait until we get this all started all over again and really get back into what it means to have a successful business and how do we use social media to our advantage. Thanks so much for listening. This is Francesca with the Hustle & Glow podcast, and I will see you on the next episode. Hi guys, I have a favor to ask you, and I also want to offer a listener who does this once a month. I want to give away a very cool curated gift from New Zealand. I don't care where you are in the world, I will send this to you. Now, there's a couple of things to do it. I want you to go ahead and leave an honest review on iTunes. I really want to attract people just like you to listen. And the second thing that you need to do so I know that you did it is tag me on Instagram at globalgirl_LA or on TikTok at FrancescaAlexanderLA. Either way, go ahead and notify me that you've done that. And each month I will randomly select one person and I will go ahead and send that curated gift from New Zealand. So I will be contacting you, or my team will be contacting you. This is exciting for me because I always wanted to do it and I didn't know how to do it, but it's a win-win because I want to get people just like you to listen in. And the more reviews we get, the more we actually sort of float up and get seen. So I need your help. Let me know. And I would love to send it to you if you're randomly selected, because I'm only doing this once a month. I'm very excited to read what you have to say too. So thanks so much and look forward to reading those reviews. Thanks for listening. Let's keep the conversation going and stay connected. Sign up for my newsletter by going to socialglobalgrind.com. Sign up there and we will make sure that we keep in touch and let you know what is coming up next in our company, and also gives you really good tips on how to just streamline that social media. They can kind of be tiresome and overwhelming. We have the tips that we want to go ahead and share with you. So go to socialglobalgrind.com and make sure you sign up. See you in the next episode.